You're listening to Scratch Take, a podcast where songwriters tell the story behind their craft. I'm Jeremy Katzenstein. Novelty Daughter is the electronic jazz pop project of Faith Harding. I got the chance to interview Faith over Skype while she was in her hotel room during a vacation in the Caribbean. In this episode, Faith talks about the overwhelmingly masculine language that characterizes electronic music and how she views her production process as a form of dialogue rather than a form of control.
My name is Faith Harding, and I am writing songs for my current solo project, which is called Novelty Daughter. A good song... Wow, that's a really interesting question. Okay, I think a good song has a kind of, like, story to it emotionally, I would say, is really important to me. The fact that it can kind of have a somewhat of a message emotionally. If you can feel a sense that someone is trying to tell you something, whether it's through lyrics or through melody, I think that's what makes the song really successful to me as a listener. Okay, so a particular phrase that I think this is a good example because you might think, well, how could this be the one? But there's a song by a house producer called Mallgrab, and it's called Drive, I believe. And it has this melody that's quite long. It's a bit longer than a lot of other, like, dance music tracks have. And it takes a long time to resolve and kind of finish, as a melodic phrase. It's like a whole, you know, it's like 15 seconds or something like that. And I think about that melody a lot because I feel like it just doesn't necessarily mean anything, you know? There's no lyrics saying, oh, this is what this means, but it just goes on for so long and has such an extended structure that it just, by the time it ends, you feel like you've had, like, a, you know, 15-minute long conversation with someone. I mean, I think a song off the most recent album that I made that does that well is Shell Body. But you have to feel human to feel flattered. That's fine. I mean, for one thing, the lyrics are very direct and pointing to, like, a specific experience. Trying not to be too didactic about it or too moralistic, but just explaining kind of the emotions that come with a certain kind of experience. But I also think it has a lot of, you know, I think it has a lot of parts that are trying to convey certain feelings. Like, there's, you know, there's the bridge is kind of this really idyllic choral moment that is ironically talking about kind of feeling threatened and afraid. The fear, inside of my body. And then that kind of escalates, like, back into the chorus. So I think, I mean, that's another aspect of songwriting that I definitely think is super important, is, like, structure, you know? And kind of I really like songs that have, like, different movements within one song. So, yeah, for me, I think Shell Body, that would be the one that comes to mind, because I think it both conveys a message lyrically, but also structurally, and I think the melodies do a good job of that, too. Yeah, I mean, I think in terms of expressing ideas, like, electronic production, definitely that is super, super helpful for me, because a lot of the time there will be some type of melody that will make so much more sense with a certain sound than another. And what's really great about producing is that at any given moment I can just find that sound, and it can really be a make or break moment for a certain idea, because if I'm playing it on an instrument that it's not really working with, then I'm probably just going to drop it. You know, if I was just working on a piano and I'm playing these melodies and they don't really make sense because the sound doesn't fit them, it's just going to get lost. So I think it allows for a lot of ideas to kind of stick with me and advocate for themselves longer than they would be able to just on one instrument. I think the one element that I do miss, I mean, when I sit, I think the performance element is the one part that I do miss with like an organic instrument. You know, there's a kind of unity between a guitar and a person when performing, and it feels, you know, it just feels more organic, I think, for obvious reasons. It's like made of wood. It's, you know, it's a real thing. But I've definitely been getting that feeling more with like synthesizers and more like hardware machines. You kind of get that weird relationship between it again, where like you're kind of negotiating with it. You know, anything that is a little, has sort of a mind of its own, I think, is when you get that kind of more unified relationship between yourself and an instrument. Right. Yeah. I mean, I think definitely like starting to work with a synthesizer filled some of the holes I was having just working like purely digitally, because, you know, this synthesizer that I got, which is a Prophet 08, it is, there are some moments where it just like will not do what I'm trying to get it to do. And it seems like it's just saying to me, like, not today. And I kind of really like that. I kind of miss that. Because the thing about using Ableton is like, you can, once you figure it out, you can kind of, you know, you boss it around, essentially. It's very much like an object of control. And I'm sure a lot of the reasons why like I feel like I'm having this type of relationship with my synthesizer is because I don't necessarily know how to use it as well. But there's still just some, it's like there's something very moody about it that I really like, you know? It really feels like I'm kind of having a conversation with it more. So that kind of reminds me of like, you know, when you're playing guitar and it's just, you can't tune it just right or something like that. And it's just like being kind of pissy with you, you know? I mean, there were a few situations where I couldn't get a certain element back to the way that it was supposed to be. For example, there was this one song called Love Hate Letter, where I had a certain like delay pattern or echo pattern on the... Hold on one second. I think housekeeping is here.
That was housekeeping showing up at Faith's door, so she moved outside to let them do their thing.
All right, I'm going to move us out to the balcony right now. I'll start over from what I was saying. This is so silly in a lot of ways. Okay. Anyway, there was this one song called Love Hate Letter that I had programmed the delays on the claps to be a certain way, and I just, something went wrong. I think something happened with my software or a VST I was using where it just kind of screwed the delay up a little bit, and I tried to get it back to the way it was for so long, and then finally just was like, maybe this is the way that it's meant to be. So I just kept it that way, and now that when I listen to it now, I can't even remember how it was before. I'm gonna tell you that's enough. I'm gonna make you change. I'm gonna pull you up above someday. I mean, I just kind of like those moments where you kind of, you know, you're doing one thing and the machine is doing another thing, and one of you concedes at a certain point, you know? And I don't, you know, I like that dialogue a lot. Yeah, I agree. I think also, you know, I definitely think, I mean, I just read an interesting book about this called Pink Noises, which is by an author called Tara, her name is Tara Rogers, and she talks a lot about how there's kind of two ways to approach electronic sound, and, you know, there's a lot of language that has to do with control, and, you know, you trigger sounds, and, like, you know, DJs, like, destroy sets, and all this kind of really, like, masculine, like, aggressive, control-based attitude towards electronic sound, but that there's also a way in which you can, you know, it doesn't really have to be about control. It can be, as you're saying, a more dynamic process and more of a dialogue between yourself and the instrument. And I think that's what people really like about, you know, more organic instruments. But I think it's possible to have that relationship with machines, you know. The only person that really comes to mind who ever received the most writing advice from in general is, you know, from my mom. Because she is a writer. She does songwriting as well. She's also a writer for television. She's written novels. She's just a writer in general. I think for her, I mean, one of the things that she's taught me a lot is whenever I was going through something that was not fun at the time, in order to kind of lift my spirits, she would say, "That's good material." that might actually be the best songwriting advice I've ever gotten, and I think also life advice, because, you know, it really has helped me not run away from situations that are difficult, which I think is very helpful in life in general, but also really helpful for songwriting. I mean, I've definitely found myself in situations where I don't quite know what to write about because everything's kind of going so smoothly, and then, you know, something will kind of go to shit, and instead of thinking, oh, you know, this is terrible, you know, I can kind of look on the bright side and be like, oh, great, this will be good material. So I think, yeah, the best advice I've ever received is probably to just, you know, don't run away from difficult situations, because that's, like, where your best music is going to come out of, you know. Even if you're writing a happy song, you know, it's probably going to be about how something got better.
I've got to learn to speak my quietly. I've got to learn to speak my quietly.
Thanks so much to Faith Harding for coming on to Scratch Take. Visit scratchtake.com for a link to Novelty Daughter's SoundCloud page, where you can listen to Semi-Goddess, Faith's debut album as Novelty Daughter. You'll also find a complete playlist of all of the songs featured in today's episode. And finally, if you like the show, make sure to subscribe on iTunes for more deep dives into the minds of songwriters.